Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the mid-morning commodity market report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading. September hard red winter wheat at 714 is up 5. Soft July wheat is 683 and 3 quarters, up 11 and 3 quarters. September, 684 and a half, up 5 and a half. July corn, 717, up 7 and a quarter. September, 553 and 3 quarters, unchanged. And December, 518 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1594, up 2 and a quarter. September, 1333 and a half, up 4 and a half. And November, 1290 and a quarter, up 5 and a half. July soybean meal, 529.20, up 870. September, 41590, up $3. July soybean oil, 4704, up 6. September, 4695, up 21. August live cattle, 122.02 and a half, down a nickel. August feeders, 150.92 and a half, up 37 and a half. And July lean hogs, 102.27 and a half, up 35. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Quick programming note, Dan will also join us this afternoon at 12:40 after USDA releases its latest WASDE report, as well as some wheat numbers, some crop production for July. This morning, Dan, we have a hook reversal lower in the daily charts brewing ahead of the WASDE report. If that follows through and confirms today, how much credence do we give it, given that the weekly and monthly charts are showing strength?
Not much. I think the key will be whether or not it has follow through. And I think what the market is anticipating here is that USDA is going to bump up the national average corn yield, and that could maybe raise overall ending stock. So I think that's kind of what the trade is kind of anticipating, and that's one of the reasons why new crop months are under pressure. I think currently USDA is at 156.5, and with the crop rating levels in the upper 60s, I think some modeling would suggest that the yield could be a little higher. Now, whether or not USDA chooses to do that, that's their call. But I think people are kind of looking for that number to maybe kind of go up a little bit, and that's why we're under pressure.
158, 159 are numbers that are being bandied about. Is that reasonable?
Well, we don't know yet. I think, you know, the crop is so late. We've got a lot of corn to pollinate. We got a long ways to go before this crop is signed, sealed, and delivered. When I look at, you know, the amount of acres that we've planted, I question whether, and the lateness of the planting that we've had and the unevenness of the planting that we've had, you know, I question whether or not we can go above 155, and we may even be a little bit lower. But I'm open to favorable weather if things turn favorable. But my weatherman tells me that the Midwest is going to have below normal precip here for the next 10 days. That is not a real good sign. And if that pattern would continue on into the first couple weeks of August, I think, you know, crop prospects could fall a little quicker than maybe what the trade is looking at.
Trade is also going to be very interested in old crop corn carry-in.
Well, yeah, in the report that we had, I mean, this is why July numbers here, I think, are for the most part old news, but the trade has a tendency to make them new news, I guess, because mm-hmm. Chicago's driven by commissions. That's what it's all about. But, yeah, the stocks reports reflected on the June report would suggest that we could see some smaller carryouts. that the consumption of corn is running very strong, and you can tell by the premium that we have over the September contract and even the July beans over the August contract is that overall cash inventories are still very, very difficult to find. With the crop late, big meaningful supplies of cash corn and cash soybeans coming into the pipeline is going to be also delayed. Now, there's going to be some southern corn come up from Arkansas and Mississippi, but some of that's going to head south to the export market too. So, it's going to get tricky, I think. We'll just have to kind of see what USDA maps out. I don't know if USDA can actually lower carryovers a whole lot more. I mean, that's basically considered pipeline. The market has some work to do of reallocating the supplies, and/or we're going to see some pretty good. A lot of ethanol plants and processing plants may shut down for a couple of weeks in August to do their maintenance work and kind of wait on some of the new crop to come at us. It could get real tricky during this transition. You know, anytime after. Mid-August, into first part of October, that there's going to be a six-week window there that could get a little tricky.
So what is the likely scenario for September corn and August soybeans when these July contracts go off the board on Friday?
Well, August soybeans, I think, probably has a reasonable chance. It's still a practical deliverable contract where end users can buy August futures and stand for delivery along the river and still get that piped into the processing plants. When you get into the September options, that gets a little more trickier. By then, the combines are going to be rolling pretty much anyway. They're going to leave some monstrous chart gaps on the lead futures chart because and there are going to be weekly gaps to boot because the July contract expired at noon, so you really don't use the September and the August contracts till Monday. So you're going to see big chart gaps on the weekly charts on the lead futures. So there's going to be some ugliness to that chart picture, at least in the short run. Now the question is that the last two times here the May contract rallied up to where the March contract went off the board at, and now these July contracts have kind of rallied up to when the May went off. The key here is the August bean, and I think that's the most likely one. It'll probably try to rally back to where the July contract goes off the board at. Corn. Probably not. That's going to be a huge leap unless we get into an all-out weather scare and the crop prospects begin to decline fairly rapidly. Well, then you would see the September corn rally up to where the July went off the board. But that's going to have to be driven by several other things. It is encouraging that we do have some export demand around. Sino Grain bought 1 million tons of U.S. corn for their reserve here. So we do have China, a fairly active buyer of corn and wheat. That's supportive. Bernanke's back weakening the dollar. The dollar fell sharply overnight. Mm-hmm. That helped overall commodities. You do have gold up over $30 or so. So a cheaper dollar will keep us or at least allow us to be more competitive in the world market as we go forward, if that's going to be the Fed policy, which I think it is. I think the economy is pretty well addicted on this easy money type deal. Yeah. So I think that's going to continue. And then whoever replaces Bernanke is probably going to be a liberal and will probably print more money yet. So I think that's what the trade's looking at.
Thank you, Dan.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. July corn trading 7.16.5, up 6 3/4. September 5.53, down 3/4. And December 5.17, down 4.5. July soybeans 15.97.5, up 5 3/4. September 13.33, now 34, up 5. And November 12.90 3/4, up 6. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.